Swarajyam yachito mochan Manome vikshito bata Ishvarat chinna punjena Palikaran hivatana Swarajyam. His devotional service Yachataha, from the Lord who is willing to offer. Mojat, by foolishness. Manaha, material prosperity. By me. Bhikshita, was asked for. Bhata, alas. Ishvarat, from a great emperor. Shinna, reduced. Punyena, whose pious activities. Halikaran, broken particles of husked rice. Iva, like. Adanaha, a poor man. Translation. So this is Dhruva Maharaj speaking, somewhat lamenting some foolish things that he's thought and done. Because of my state of complete foolishness and paucity of pious activities, although the Lord offered me his personal service, I wanted material name, fame and prosperity. My case is just like that of the poor man who, when he satisfied a great emperor who wanted to give him anything he might ask, out of ignorance, asked only a few broken grains of husked rice. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In this verse, the word svarajyam, which means complete independence, is very significant. A conditioned soul does not know what complete independence is. Complete independence means situated in one's own constitutional position. The real independence of a living entity, who is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to remain always dependent on the Supreme Lord, just like a child who plays in complete independence, guided by his parents who watch over him. The independence of the conditioned soul does not mean to fight with the obstacles offered by Maya, but to surrender to Krishna. In the material world, everyone is trying to become completely independent simply by fighting against the obstacles offered by Maya. This is called the struggle for existence. Real independence is to be reinstated in the service of the Lord. Anyone who goes to the Vaikuntha planets or Goloka Vrindavan planet is freely offering his service to the Lord. That is complete independence. Just contrary to this is material overlordship, which we wrongly take to be independence. Many great political leaders have tried to establish independence, but due to such so-called independence, the people's dependence has only increased. The living entity cannot be happy trying to be independent in the material world. One has to surrender, therefore, unto the lotus feet of the Lord and engage in his original eternal service. Dhruva Maharaj regrets that he wanted material opulence and great prosperity than that of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, and begging from the Lord was like a poor man's asking a great emperor for a few grains of broken rice. The conclusion is that anyone who is engaged in the loving service of the Lord should never ask for material prosperity from the Lord. The awarding of material prosperity simply depends on the stringent rules and regulations of the external energy. Pure devotees ask the Lord only for the privilege of serving Him. This is our real independence. If we want anything else, it is a sign of our misfortune. So, here, this particular verse, of course, we see in the tone of Srila Prabhupada's purport that it is an indication to devotees, you know, so as well as enlightening materialists who are trying to enjoy the material world, but more so than that, it's speaking to the devotees who have already given up material life. Approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, take to devotional service, and then again ask for material prosperity. Like that. So, which is, as Srila Prabhupada puts it, is a sign of someone's misfortune. You know, someone is bewildered and you know, robbing themselves of the opportunity to go back to the spiritual world, beating oneself, causing oneself a lot of difficulty. So, so this, and it's not. It's not an unusual thing that may happen amongst devotees. Srila Prabhupada sometimes mentioned when he was speaking to, you know, the masses in general about the foolishness of trying to manipulate the material world to enjoy in the material world. Very, very foolish proposition. In this world, everyone is a blind person without knowledge of their real interest of how to be happy, what is good for them. In this world, no one knows. And the leaders, they are considered the blind leading the blind. So no one knows. Everyone is foolish. Srila Prabhupada says, it's not our opinion. We take it from Krishna, that if there's no Krishna consciousness, then everyone is mudha. So, you know, it's a very strong statement. As Srila Prabhupada says, we become the enemy of everyone. Because everyone in this world thinks that, you know, what they're doing is the correct thing, and we are saying, no, that is foolish, it should be given up. So we become the enemy of everyone. So although we're the minority, we take it on Krishna's authority that, you know, quite often you tend to go with the majority, but in this case, if you go with the majority, you go to hell. So, but it's a very difficult thing to convince people in this world about the actual position of that we are a spirit soul and that it's just not possible to enjoy in this material world. And so much so that Prabhupada mentioned that, you know, many of his disciples who did leave, they left for that reason, that somehow they felt that Srila Prabhupada, you know, through his Sankirtan movement, was depriving them of the basic necessities of material enjoyment. So, you know, he mentioned, and sometimes he mentioned the various names and what have you. So, it's something that, you know, it's a tendency that's within the heart, the desire to enjoy in this material world, especially above all things, sex life. Srila Prabhupada gives the example in the seventh canto that he noticed with the hippies that they were somewhat detached because they were from... So, you know, he felt that they were very fertile, you know, persons to preach to because already the detachment was there. He found that in India they were becoming more and more enticed to enjoy the material world very expertly. He said they were like new crows. So crows come along and they pick out the rubbish and then they realise, oh, there's just nothing here. And then they fly away. Then the new crows come and they think, oh, you know, there's something here for us. You know, it's all fresh and new like that. But it's really just old rubbish that's already been picked through. But he saw in the West, look, there's a ray of hope here because they are, especially amongst these hippies, they have material opulence that in India, you know, most people could not even imagine. And but they were just, you know, walking away from it like that. But he pointed out, but still, even with that level of detachment, the sex desire, they could not, you know, that's something you just don't, you know, that's very, very powerful, you know, desire within the heart that remains. Very, you know, that is the main shackle which keeps us here in the material world above everything. And then on the, even when the sex desire is, you know, or the gross, you know, sex is avoided, a devotee is following the various regulative principles, then it can manifest in the subtle way of profit, adoration and distinction, which is a subtle, you know, form of sex desire. That, you know, profit, adoration, one wants to be adored. So amongst many devotees, one may want to, you know, adore me as amongst everyone, make sure I get plenty of attention. I am distinct from everyone else. I'm not just one of your run-of-the-mill servants. Everyone should, and in this way, attaining that distinction and adoration, certainly there may be some profit in that for me. So it is very, very difficult to give up. So, and here in this verse, we see that Dhruva Maharaj, someone was offered directly devotional service by the personality of Godhead himself, and he's, you know, has these desires for material enjoyment like that. So he's really regretting how foolish. So we may think that is very unusual, except for the fact that we do the same thing. Speaking for myself, we do the same thing ourselves. So, but so therefore, you see with Srila Prabhupada that whether he was speaking on the in 1966 to all the new devotees, or he was speaking in 1977 where he had sannyasis and many big preachers, or whether he was speaking on the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita or the verses of the 10th canto, he continually and repeatedly and regularly, constantly preached about these basic points that you know, sort of make sure we hear it again and again and again from, and become completely convinced. Whatever doubts we have, you know, are sort of completely eradicated, and whatever stubbornness is there, somehow or another, you know, it is removed. Because basically, you know, when it comes to doubts, One time, you know, someone said to Srila Prabhupada, you know, because we're speaking that we're a spirit soul, which is a big concept for people to understand. We're not this body. For a lot of people, they don't see any reason to that, or any, you know, it doesn't make sense to them. It goes against everything they believe and have been taught. And one of the disciples said to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, they have so many doubts. So many doubts when we present this philosophy that you're a spirit soul, you belong in the spiritual world, you know, you're not meant to be trying to enjoy the material world, but leaving material world and becoming detached from it. He said the doubts mean this: I have to give up sex life, I have to give up meat eating, I have to give up intoxication, I have to give up gambling. He said that's what the doubts are. When it comes to, and he said, you know, if it wasn't for that, then there are no doubts. You know, one would just take it. If one wasn't so addicted to these things, the doubts would just be very easily, you know, brushed aside. But because the attachment to these things is there, then the doubts will come, even for devotees, even at later stages. So that's the doubts. So here, Srila Prabhupada very kindly, again and again, page after page, he'll repeat the same thing. But you know, one of the wonderful things about Srila Prabhupada is that every time he repeats even the same philosophy, he does it in an ever fresh way, with a new realization, unlimited realization. Prabhupada has unlimited realizations about this philosophy. And one of the difficulties people have is that we have is that our tendency is to be an independent master and enjoyer in this world. That we all see ourselves in that way. But factually, that's complete illusion. None of us are in that position. From Lord Brahma, the kings, the queens, the demigods, the king of the jungle, right down to the ant, no one is actually in that position. Everyone is completely dependent and fully conditioned and controlled by the material energy to suffer various miseries, principal of which is birth, death, old age and disease, of which we have no independence from. That's our actual position. And here, you know, in this world there are many independence movements. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport he says many great political leaders have tried to establish independence, but due to such so-called independence the people's dependence has only increased. One time Srila Prabhupada, when he was in giving a lecture in Montreal in 1968, and he was saying that he did a television program and they asked him, whether it's possible to, you know, actually adjust the material world in such a way that we can sort of live here happily, you know, independent sort of from the struggle for existence and the problems. And he said, no, it's not possible. Because, you know, this is quite a radical statement. You know, this is very revolutionary concepts, because the entire world, all the political movements, all the great civilizations, the scientists, the doctors, the social workers, they're all convinced that that's exactly what they're doing. We're creating the situation where you become liberated or free from the problems. Everyone is doing that. But actually, it never happens. So Srila Prabhupada said, You know, the proof is, you just have to look back at every civilization. So if you look at the Roman Empire, if you look at the Mughal Empire, you know, if you look at any of the great civilizations, all of them were, you know, trying to adjust the material world to be in a position to be, enjoy this material world, an independent position, a free position. And we see that the exact same problems that they faced throughout all history, we still have the same problem. So one civilization comes, they may last for 10,000 years, they may last for 2,000 years. And after it, and all that time, adjusting material energy, and after all that time, same problems. Next civilization comes. They last, you know, 100 years, 500 years, 5,000 years, adjusting. So many great achievements, so many breakthroughs in science and this and that and the other. And the end result, you know, sometimes they have millions of, you know, people working for this and doing that. The end result, same problems are still there. Next civilization. So actually, and here we are. So we're thinking that, oh no, we'll do it though. But actually, if you go down the track, 10 years, you know, just like, you know, now they're coming up to elections. Right? So they make all these promises. And so the current government, they're making a promise that, you know, by in 6 years' time, that means two terms or something, not just one term, but two terms, our you know, we'll be so much in credit, you know, not, or whatever, you know, not the government debt will be reduced. So then the opposition said, but you said that last time you would have reduced the debit so much and it increased 10 times. So why should we accept that from you? See? So a reasonable person, they say, well, you make these promises, but it never happens. So we're certainly not going to give you one term, let alone two. So, you know, but the promise is going on. So it's a hard argument to sort of break, isn't it? There's no evidence at all. You can go back as far as you want. You can go to any civilization. And there is no evidence that a material world has been adjusted so that we can actually live here free from the problems of material life. It has never happened. And yet everyone is convinced that although it's never happened, it's coming now. So that independence, actually one is controlled by the material body, which is a product of the material energy. As soon as we enter into this material body, we are controlled by this body. We think we're independent. You find one person in this world who has a material body who is independent, living independently from their material body. They are not controlled by it. So that body will not cause them death. That body will not cause them disease. That body will not cause them old age, illness, so many miseries. You find one person. As soon as we have a material body, we are controlled in so many different ways. And then, you know, there are the different, you know, requirements of the body. You know, for eating, sleeping, and defending, and, you know, sex life, and sense gratification, so many different things. Everyone is the servant of their greed, their lust, their pride, their anger, their fear, their anxiety. Everyone is serving these. And the senses, the eyes are saying, take me here, you know, the ears are saying, you know, take me here, take me to this nightclub, you know, in the middle of the night, on a cold, rainy winter night in Melbourne. I must go to the nightclub, you know, half-dressed and drink and smoke and come home and spend all my money. I must. I've worked so hard for all this money for months and months and months, but I must spend it all tonight and wake up with a big headache. Must. Is there any reason? No. The servant, you know, servant of the body. There is no choice. What is it? Forced servant. They're all thinking master, but actually everyone is servant. Constitutionally, every one of us is actually the servant. The question is who we serve. So Srila Prabhupada here, the authorities, the Shastras, they recommend that we actually serve the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna. So, and that is the liberated condition, because when we engage our senses voluntarily, because we're not forced to do it, it's voluntary, it's out of love, as Srila Prabhupada describes here, everyone in the spiritual world, they're voluntarily serving Krishna. Now, here we're forced to do everything. In the spiritual world, everyone is voluntarily, they want to. I want to serve Krishna. I love Krishna. I want to. If we take that opportunity, that if I want to, by my free will, serve Krishna instead of serving the senses, then actually become liberated. And this is here, this term, which is called svarajya, which means complete independence. That is the only way one can attain complete independence, is to become the servant. Not just the servant of Krishna, but Prahlad Maharaj, we see, he wants to be a proper servant. He wants to root out any sense that I'm the master, the servant of the servant. The servant of the servant, the servant. Do it properly. Don't be the servant of Krishna and still maintaining some sense that I am elevated person who needs to be served. I am the servant of the servant of the servant. Very humble position. Janata pisana china. Don't half do it. This is what Dhruva is saying. Don't half do it. Servant, properly done, means servant of the servant. Find those devotees who are actually following in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, Prahlad Maharaj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, be the humble servant of those persons without any pride. I am a big Vaishnava, I am this, I am that. Do it properly. What is that pride? I still want to enjoy in this material world. I am big Vaishnava. That means, yeah, I want to advertise myself. That means that I'm still wanting to enjoy in this world. Actually, Raghunath Das Goswami says that this desire for fame, it is the most useless thing. It is, on the path of devotional service, it is the most useless thing. It is like here, being in the position of Dhruva Maharaj, being in the presence of the personality of Godhead, having the opportunity to serve, and yet I'm seeking fame, adoration. It is the most, Prabhupada says here, is that this is our real independence. If we want anything else, it is a sign of our misfortune. Then even as devotees, we can become misfortunate to desire such things. So that position as a servant of the servant of the servant, that is complete independence. So that's quite a revolutionary thought, isn't it? You know, that it is just completely alien to the way everyone in the world is thinking, and even on the spiritual platform, it's a consciousness or a level of Krishna consciousness, which still is quite rare. You know, to properly take up that mood of devotional service, putting aside. And that, of course, is described as the 10th offence of chanting Hare Krishna, to maintain material attachments even after understanding some instructions on this matter. So, now, Srila Prabhupada gives this example here. So, in this verse, there are many different concepts which are very, very revolutionary. Even when you speak the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is inconceivable to most people in this world. And even in the devoted community, sometimes we struggle, you know, with doubts, you know, to accept that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. We were talking about this in Bhaktivedanta the other day, what Prabhupada did. You know, Prabhupada went to the West and he was saying, explaining to them that this little cowherd boy, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. There's a little boy from India, bluish complexion, walking around barefoot with a little flute, patting the cow. Everything is coming from him. The sun, the moon. And what happened? They accepted it. Why? And, you know, at one time someone asked Srila Prabhupada, they were saying that he was giving a talk. A few times people have said this to him. That one time someone said, your position is that you know everything. Srila Prabhupada said, thank you very much. And another time he explained that position, you know. Are you sure you're correct? You know, someone said, yes, I'm sure. How do you know that you're sure? I'm sure because I take knowledge from authorities. He said, just like, he gave the same example in his purport. Just like a little child, you know, if someone asks, you know, what is this? And the father says, oh, this is a microphone. So the little child says, oh, that's a microphone. And what do you do with that? Oh, that's used to make the sound greater. So you can hear it a lot easier, a lot louder. Oh, okay. So the little child, because the father is older, wiser, more mature, then naturally the child accepts that this is a microphone. So someone, you know, the child can point out to someone else, that's a microphone. Oh, how do you know? You're just a child. No, I'm sure. How can you be sure you're just a child? Because my father told me. So, you know, and here Prabhupada presents it. He presents it very nicely, this example, that he says, the real independence of a living entity who is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to remain always dependent on the Supreme Lord, just like a child who plays in complete independence, guided by his parents who watch over him. So that little child is considered to be plays independently. So, when one takes guidance from higher authorities, Shastra, Shikshaguru, Dikshaguru, Krishna, one gets complete independence and one can enjoy life independently. And again, this is a very difficult concept because generally we think as soon as we ask someone else to guide us or, you know, to take responsibility to protect us, we feel that we have lost the credit or the distinction or the adoration of being independently doing things by our own good qualities and intelligence and ability. We actually think the opposite, that as soon as I ask someone, an authority, to guide me in my devotional service even, we actually feel somehow that is the servant position, but I want to be the Prabhu, giving the instructions. But actually what Srila Prabhupada is saying, what Krishna is explaining, that you actually become the Prabhu by becoming dependent upon the personality of Godhead and his representative. Therefore, little children, they play independently, as if they're just almost like just free. They're a free entity. They're just playing. And why is that? Because they're protected and guided by the parents. So this is very natural, and the choice in this world is whether we take shelter of a personality like Srila Prabhupada and say, you please give us protection from this material world and guidance. My only wish is to have my consciousness purified by your lotus word, the words emanating from your lotus lips. You do that. Or we take shelter of the blind leaders of this world who are leading other blind men, who for thousands and thousands of years keep saying they're going to do something and never achieve it. They keep striving to get some happiness in this material world and never ever achieve it. Or we take shelter of personalities like Srila Prabhupada, who even while in this material world, we see that they're completely linked with the spiritual world, with the personality of Godhead, and live who are not controlled by the material energy. Because we see with Srila Prabhupada, he took shelter of Krishna, because eternally, and we see that therefore, by accepting voluntarily the loving service of Krishna, then one attains unlimited spiritual satisfaction of the spiritual senses, and therefore becomes completely aloof from even the desire to enjoy in the material world. Srila Prabhupada used to say, just look at the proof. He said, look at my followers and disciples. He said, they are serving me. No one is paying them. I have not brought money from India. He said, and if they get money, they'll pay me. I'm not paying them. They're working so hard. And if they get money, they'll pay me. Because they're happy. What more proof do you want? You know, one time I was doing some catering at the... we were doing Rock Above the Falls or something. So that's how I used to pay for the bills on the farm when I was managing there. And I used to have, one or two of my daughters, a few people from the university. Maybe I used to get one, if I was lucky, of the someone from Melbourne. It was Tarini Rupert from the farm. So we had, a bit of a hodgepodge group, but they worked, really well. Actually, what I used to do was I'd do an astrological reading for the weekend, the long weekend, and I'd work out when the prophet was coming in. And I'd say to the workers, a few of them got in because they just wanted a ticket to go to the concert, and I'd say to them, as long as you're here for this 2-3 hour period, go and have a break, watch your bands, and then come back for this, like that. So they used to do it, and they'd come and they'd work. So we had it. And when they were there, people come in. We actually made the profit in those times, and the other times I didn't need them. Anyway, one time these people come from another stall, and they're complaining about the boss. Oh, he makes us do this, he makes us do that, and we're only getting paid so much and so many things. And she said, I've been watching you and your workers. How much do you pay these people? They're like, they're just working, working, working. I said, I don't pay them at all. And I remember sometimes we used to do marathons. We'd go at night and day, literally, you know, basically you had time to chant your rounds, and that was it. Eating, sleeping was an option. And you'd go out every day for a month, and at the end you were just about dead. And our goal was at the end, you know, the senior Vaishnava will come and thank us for the marathon and give us a cookie. And we were ecstatic. Oh, for sure. Given by hand of devotee. That, you know, that was, I still remember. Yeah. I remember, in fact, one time I was in Perth and we didn't get many visitors. One time Ramaswamy came and visited and there was also my spiritual master at that time. So my spiritual master, at the end of class, he was going to give out some cookies. So as soon as he put his hand out, I just bolted. I went up and grabbed the cookie out of his hand. It's like I couldn't control myself, you know. And then as I went to grab it, he said, Ganga. Ordinarily, we'd let the sannyasis come up first. He said, but, you know, your enthusiasm for prasadam, you know, overrides that. So he gave me the cookie. But, you know, it was like that. You know, you would just work and work and work for Krishna. And as Prabhupada, you know, he used to point out, you won't find that. There's the happiness. You know, they're working voluntarily. And if they get money, they give it to me. You know, because they're happy on the spiritual path. They're not controlled by the material energy. You know, they're not, you know, after lust and greed and like that. Because, you know, the Krishna consciousness. So the choice in this world is to, everyone follows some authority. We either become the blind, being led by the blind, or we take shelter of a personality like Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, or these great saints and sages, and Krishna himself, the personality of Godhead. And in this way, accept this wonderful Krishna consciousness philosophy and become completely liberated from the material world, even in this lifetime, and then go back to Godhead at the end. And all the way, we can eat cookies. Mahabhushad. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments? Yes, because you know, they accepted it because they respected the authority that it was coming from. So they were disillusioned with all their authorities, and they were saying things that really weren't working. Srila Prabhupada was an authority who they could immediately respect. They saw that he was, you know, very peaceful, self-controlled, wise, blissful, you know, very ecstatic. And, you know, he was explaining things, you know, in an authoritative way, in a very reasonable way. And what he was speaking, you know, was obviously manifest within his own person. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he says that, you know, to preach, you know, one has to be, you know, a proper character. You know, we have to try as devotees to be a proper character and, you know, practice sincerely, you know, what we're teaching. He said, to preach, you must make judgments and criticisms of others. See, so, you know, in this, for us to preach, we basically have to say, you're a blind fool. and all your leaders are blind fools, and all your authorities are mudhas, asses. That's preaching. So, therefore, one has to be, a position of someone that someone respects. If one manifests foolishness in one's behavior, then, how is it possible to, speak to others in such a strong way? They have to see, well, this person is not a blind fool. This person has control of the mind and senses. This person is not, chasing lust and greed and anger and pride. And this person is, obviously experiencing, a transcendental happiness which has nothing to do with sex life and meat-eating intoxication. So, there's something. Where is that happiness coming from? So, they accepted the authority of Srila Prabhupada very, very, very readily. And in order to preach, this movement is based upon the Sankirtan movement mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is based upon four pillars. Criticism, which is personified by Swarup Damodar. Criticism means that in order to preach, you actually have to criticize. It's constructive criticism. You actually have to point out someone's faults. You have to correct people. You have to make judgments. In this world, currently, you can't make a judgment about anything. If a woman walks past, you can't say it's a woman. You're not allowed to say it's a man, it's a woman. The councils, actually, one of the latest things they're doing in Melbourne is that they want to go through all the libraries and take out the children's books where, you have Tom the Tanker, which is a boy's name, so they want to get rid of that book. Because you're making a judgment. That train is male. You're not allowed to make judgments. There's just the world's gone crazy. You can't judge anything. But to preach, you actually have to judge. You have to make criticisms. So, criticism is one of the pillars, constructive criticism of this movement. But in order to preach, in order to preserve the purity of the teachings and to have the purity to preach, then one must have the other three pillars as well, which is humility, devoid of this pride, and which is personified by Sanatana Goswami, and tolerance, personified by Haridas Thakur, and renunciation personified by Ramananda Roy. So if people see this person is renounced, they're detached from this world fully. That's a miracle. If people see that someone is free from sex life, Prabhupada once said, people all over the world, they're trying to touch my feet, they're trying to glorify me. Do you know why? And they're saying, oh, Prabhupada, because you're the leader of a great movement, not because you speak, such wisdom, not. There's so many things. No, because I've given up sex life. if the renunciation is there, tolerance, one is living in this world, not trying to adjust the material world for sense gratification, but just living here, making enough arrangements to make Krishna consciousness the goal of life. That's it. And humility. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. That's my actual position. Then that person, can preach. And people will accept their authority, because after all there are many people preaching something in this world, and it just comes down to they're either going to accept what you say or what someone else says. And if those credentials are there, that's what Srila Prabhupada did. Then despite how inconceivable it is that he could go into a place like America and express that this little blue boy, Krishna from India is a court, and they accepted it, it shows you that when someone is a bona fide authority, and people are searching for bona fide authorities, they will accept, they'll look into it, and then the opportunity is there to present the Shastra and explain things reasonably and to help them to purify the heart with Prasadam and the holy name. So then, you know, gradually the opportunity is there for them to develop that little spark of faith to a greater degree. But as a spirit soul, we're all yearning for that anyway. Every spirit soul is yearning to love eternally and to be happy eternally. So what is being presented is what every spirit soul is yearning for. So that's another advantage we have. Yeah. So any other questions? Oh, go on. You wanted to... Yeah, so our position is like the little child. We're performing devotional service, we're like little children playing. But we're doing it under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, so therefore it's okay. Therefore you're protected and everything will be fine. You know, we're not presenting, you know, we're the servant of the servant of the servant. In other words, our goal, our preaching means somehow or another we allow people to connect with Srila Prabhupada and those persons who are connected with Srila Prabhupada. That's our position. We're not trying to be an authority. We're trying to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Where does it say in the Bhagavad Gita we should try and be an authority? We're trying to, you know, if we try to set ourselves up, that I'm an authority. What is my position? I have no position. I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. Srila Prabhupada is the authority. And those who, you know, nicely, you know, represent Srila Prabhupada, their authorities. And we're their servant. And then we have no position. No fear. And we can speak very strongly. Because as a child speaks very strongly because, you know, my father said this. So we speak very strongly. Srila Prabhupada said that. So, but, you know, if in the course of this lifetime we do become pure devotees, then yes, you know, we can become a very nice authority. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, at that point, but, you know, hands up all of those who think that we're, you know, fully liberated, completely off the bodily platform. No trace of material desire in their hearts. Okay, still servant, servant, servant. So we have to be... So the authority is there in Srila Prabhupada and his representatives and those who are, you know, fully manifesting and practicing. But still, we can be very confident, you know, that we can present what these great authorities have given and what the Srimad Bhagavatam has given. And, you know, so, you know, if we honestly, you know, present to people. One time, there's a devotee, Jambavati, I don't know if you know, there's a Janavi. I was preaching at, she's a god sister. So she's got a little centre in New Zealand. I was distributing records might have been a fair or something. And she'd come up to me, she had these little pigtails. And she asked me, you know, so she'd never seen a Hare Krishna. She said to me, you know, why did you become a Hare Krishna? And I said, I said that, you know, I read something in the books and then, you know, I met the devotees and I thought, I'll give it 6 months, you know, and if I can, you know, it works, you know, and I can control my mind and senses and find spiritual happiness, then I'll stay. So, you know, years later she became an initiated devotee. She's now running a temple in New Zealand, but she said to me a couple of times that always, you know, what attracted me, you know, was just the honesty. You didn't present yourself as a big devotee or this, that, or the other. You know, you just present yourself as you were, and that's what attracted him. You know, so we don't have to, you know, we present, I'm an apprentice. That's okay. There's no fault in being an apprentice. But we're working under the masters, and therefore, you know, everything is fine. So, but if we, the problem is if we present ourselves as a master when we're still the apprentice. Yeah. That's a problem. Otherwise, being an apprentice is not a problem. Yeah. Okay, Jai. Hare Krishna.